Gracious God and ever-blessed Father, thank you for the provision of the Word of God that is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask now for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now turn with me, if you would, to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, and we are going to read verses 1 to 5, and you'll find it in your pew Bible on page 599. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 1 to 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, over the last number of weeks during Advent season, we have been looking at the texts that comprise the first part of Handel's Messiah. And for those who are visiting, our choir put on a performance of the first part of Handel's Messiah earlier this December. And this is one of the final texts referred to in part one of Handel's Messiah, Isaiah 40 and verses 1 to 5. I've reminded you that although Messiah was written in 1742 or 1743, some 40 years later, John Newton, the hymn writer, in the 1780s, preached a series of sermons on all of the texts, part 1 and 2 and 3 of Messiah. And took about a year or so to do that, all 50 texts, I think, that are cited in Messiah. And that's what we've been doing. So this morning we have this particular text, Isaiah 40, 1 to 5. I want you to imagine that this is a present, a Christmas present. And so, first of all, it has a label. And on the label is a greeting. And that greeting says, comfort. Says it twice. Comfort, comfort, my people. Now, Isaiah 40 comes, of course, after Isaiah 39. Even on Christmas morning, I can do that arithmetic for you. There is a chapter division here, but in a manuscript, the Dead Sea Scroll manuscript of Isaiah. You remember the story of the Dead Sea Scroll, a shepherd boy throwing a stone, falls down into a cave. He lowers himself down, probably with some ropes or something, and discovers these scrolls belonging to part of the Essene community before the birth of Jesus. And among them was a scroll of Isaiah. One of the most important finds of all time in terms of the Bible. And in that scroll of Isaiah, there is no gap between chapter 39 and chapter 40. And we knew that before this scroll was found, but seeing it with your own eye is breathtaking, because chapter 39 ends with the words of doom. The prophet has been speaking about the threat of the Assyrian empire and the conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel and the downfall of its capital in Samaria, and now more latterly of Babylon. And you only have to glance at chapter 39 and you will see the word Babylon in the opening verse. King of Babylon sent envoys with letters. He makes a visit to Judah. He makes a visit to King Hezekiah, and Hezekiah lost his mind. And he showed the Babylonian king all of their treasures. And Isaiah speaks a word of doom. And just let me pick it up in verse 5 of chapter 39. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord." That's where we are. We're in a prophecy of doom of the Babylonian exile. The end of the reign of Judean kings. Notice in verse 7, "Some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs." Now, there are children present, but you understand if they're eunuchs, they can't have children. So there'll be no more Judean kings. That's the point. This is the end of the reign of kings in Judah. What then of Isaiah's prophecies that one will rise of the line and lineage of King David, and he will rule and reign forever? So much for those prophecies earlier in the prophecy of Isaiah. And without pausing for breath comes Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye tenderly to Jerusalem and say unto her that her warfare is accomplished." There's a word of greeting here, and it says comfort, comfort, and it's from God, like a little label on your Christmas present that you opened this morning, and it said to and from, and it was to you, and it was from someone, and this says comfort, comfort, and it's from God. They may have abandoned God, but he has not abandoned God. Them. What a word of great joy on this Christmas morning. God has a word of comfort for his people. Then secondly, I want us to see the wrapping paper. And it's very delicate paper. You know, there's paper that's kind of thick and you have to put some energy into tearing apart, and then there's very delicate paper. And this is very delicate paper. Look at verse 2. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." I love that. This is the mighty God that's speaking. This is God, the Creator. This is God, omnipotent. And he's speaking tenderly to Jerusalem. It's coming from the heart. It's the same word that is used in the narrative of Ruth, the book of Ruth, where Boaz, and you remember when Boaz first sort of catches Ruth's eye, and there's something almost immediately of a chemistry between the two of them, and he speaks tenderly of her. It's the same word. This is the language of love. This is the language of well, I don't know what you call it, but sweet nothings is what I call it. You know, when you're sitting on the couch at home of an evening, and it's just you and the missus, or you and your husband, and you're speaking sweet nothings, speaking tenderly. That's the word that's used here in the context of this word of doom and gloom all around, and the future does not look rosy for them. They're going to be taken into Babylonian captivity, but there's a word of comfort here. Comfort. The light was going out, and the hopes and dreams of the people of God were going out with them. And the purposes of God seemed on the edge of extinction. And the covenant of God seemed to be altogether eclipsed. And the promise of a deliverer now seems more like a mocking hope than anything else. And the story of redemption itself is about to flicker and die. But God is whispering a tender word in the ears of his people. There's a label, there's wrapping paper, there's a box. Well, there's a container. And in this case, it's a triangular container. So it's three sides because it has three points. And what does this box say? Well, one, how warfare is ended. And it's the word that is used in the Old Testament of military service, hard military service. And it's over. Sometimes on a Monday evening, actually, more often than I care to think, on a Monday evening, I'm flying back from Atlanta, as many of you know. And I'm on that last flight from Atlanta. And there will invariably be 20, 30 young men, young women, very young men, very young women, and they're heading for catastrophe. They're heading for Fort Jackson. And you can tell them immediately because they're carrying these manila envelopes, and they must be given instructions that they must not bend these envelopes, they must not put them inside a case, they must carry them like this as identity markers, and you can see them. And the flight to Colombia every Monday night has 20 or 30 of these young people, sometimes hair down to here. You know that's going to be gone before the morning. And you think, I sometimes look at them and think, their lives are about to change and they have no idea. They're about to enter into some kind of service, and will they be glad when that training is over? Well, that's the word that's used here. Your warfare is ended. Secondly, your iniquity is pardoned. Your iniquity is pardoned. What a word that is. Because these people had sinned against God. You remember the most frequently used term that Isaiah employs for God is the Holy One of Israel. From the moment that he had seen that vision in which he had heard those words, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of your glory." From that moment onwards, Isaiah could not think of God apart from God's holiness, his incandescent brightness. And by contrast, we are sinners, all of us. That's why we need Christmas, of course, because we are sinners, because we need a Savior, and we can't produce that Savior, and God has to provide that Savior. And here is the message: your iniquity is pardoned. There is no more beautiful news. There is no more tender word in the entire universe than those words: your iniquity is pardoned. And then thirdly, she has received double. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's a little tricky. It doesn't mean that they've been punished twice for their sins. What it means is the double is, think of it like a mirror image or a replica. There is something called our sins, and there is something that replicates it, that is a mirror image of it, and that is grace. There is grace to perfectly match the sin. A double. If there's sin, there's grace to match it. There's grace to double it, to reflect it. That seems to be the idea. Her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand a matching grace. That would work. A matching grace. Like in a capital campaign, sometimes there'll be a matching donation. You give this much and there's a matching donation. Well, that's the idea here. For every sin, there is a matching grace. A double. What a beautiful thing. Now, what about the gift itself inside? Let's look inside this box. And there's a voice. Suddenly there's a voice crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And there's a picture of a highway, a road. And on that road, there is, well, it's going to take your breath away because the glory of the Lord is coming. The glory of the Lord is coming. And what does he mean? You can hear hints here, of course, of John the Baptist, and this passage is cited in the Gospels. The one who is crying, prepare the way of the Lord, of course, is John the Baptist. Are you asking, surely you're not asking the question, what has this text got to do with Christmas? Because this text, this highway, takes you all the way to Bethlehem. It takes you all the way to that stable in which, as C.S. Lewis once said, there was once in a stable one who was bigger than the whole world. The glory had come. The glory of God had come. From the darkness of the 7th century B.C., Isaiah looks ahead and he sees this Christmas gift of the glory of God. Well, in part, he's talking about the release from Babylon, of course, but he's looking beyond that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld what? His glory. His glory. Who is he in yonder stall? At whose feet the shepherds fall. 'Tis the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, O King of glory. This is God's Christmas gift for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The glory of God manifest in the flesh. Come for sinners like you and me with a message that says our warfare, the warfare is accomplished, our iniquity is pardoned, and for every sin there is a matching grace. Now, my dear friends, if that doesn't put a song in your mouth and in your heart, that doesn't raise your spirits, that doesn't put a skip in your beat on this Christmas morning, nothing will. What an indescribable gift he has given to us. Let us, like Mary, ponder these things and treasure them in our hearts. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these wonderful words. Comforting words, reassuring words, strengthening words, words of gospel, words of grace, words of pardon and forgiveness. And they call us to serve you now with all of our hearts and minds and strength and soul. And so grant it, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit this Christmas day for Jesus' sake. Amen.